Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rebe.
Let's go. Let's get it on. Oh, Peters.
Hey, got a fight. Thornton and Rebe are exchanging punches.
The Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Our number two Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG, have some tweets we can get to and read. And, you know, obviously Jack related. Jack being traded to Chicago, supposedly. That's the rumor. You wonder how many teams are really in on Jack. A couple things I want to get to first here, Riv, as we kick off hour number two. So, Jakub Slavin wins the Lady Bing Trophy for most gentlemanly conduct. Took one minor penalty.
Who's Jakub Slavin?
Is it Jakub Slavin?
Jacob Slavin?
Is it not Jakub? Maybe it's Jacob. I don't know. I call him Jakub. Why do you got to? Who cares? Do you know who I'm talking about when I say it? You correcting me of all people.
Butchering the name. You got to get it right so people know who you're talking about.
Okay, so Jacob Slavin, won the Lady Bing Trophy for most gentlemanly conduct. Took one minor penalty in 52 games.
Yeah, mind-boggling.
One penalty in 52 games. So there's Damian Cox tweets out, really looking forward to hearing the rationale of any writer who gave Slavin a first place vote over McDavid and or Matthews. Anybody who did so deserves to lose their vote. This is a travesty. A travesty?
A travesty.
I'm willing to bet McDavid and Matthews want nothing to do with this award at all. In fact, if I were Jacob Slavin and I were in that situation the last game of the year, I would have jumped somebody. So I didn't have to win this award.
Can I just go over this again? You're telling me in 52 games he had only two penalty minutes?
What do you think his penalty was for? Tripping, hooking, or interference?
So this man played 52 games. He averaged 23 minutes a night. That's like a big boy defenseman that's on the ice constantly. How is it possible? How is it possible that you only have one penalty as a defenseman?
What do you attribute that to? Can't say he's soft.
No, he's a really good defenseman. Jacob Slavin is a really, really good defenseman. And I'm going to tell you, this is the reason why he won the award. He is not an offensive guy, but he is a minute eater. He is a really strong defensive-minded player that skates very well. He's a really, really good player. I love Jacob Slavin's game. But, I mean, holy jumping.
He took a two-minute penalty. He took a 2-minute penalty on March 7th. So I'm going to go find that game sheet and I'm going to see what he took his penalty for. I want to know what he took his penalty for.
That's it would have to be a trip. It wouldn't be a cross check. I don't think it'd be a slash. It would have to be a trip.
What about
maybe hand, an interference?
Interference, maybe. Yeah. Hand in the crease over the hand over the puck in the crease.
Yeah.
I'm going to check this out. But it's funny, March 7th, that's the date that he took his 2-minute penalty. It's the same date that Jack played his last game with the Sabres. Just wasn't even trying to do a transition there. It just happened.
All right.
Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG. The news over the weekend is Jack to Chicago. We have a lot of stuff later on in the show, by the way, for some stuff that Craig might not care about. But Jack to Chicago, Jack being traded at all. You know, there's a thought that Jack starts the season with the Sabres, Craig. In fact, it's a little
more. Can I just give you some information before we go there?
Yes, you can.
Jacob Slavin's only penalty coming from Wes was a delay of game over the puck, glass over the puck penalty.
You call him?
I thought that was a little aggressive.
You call him a gentlemanly player for that?
Yeah,
that's about as unsportsmanlike as it's about as unsportsmanlike as you can get.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Trying to hit a fan in a year where there's no fans, eh, Riv?
Thanks, Wes, for the information.
Who sent that?
Wes.
Wes who? Mantooth?
Can't say his last name. He doesn't want me to say his last name.
Is he on Twitter?
White Knight.
Wes
White Knight.
Wes White Knight. That's about as good as Wes Mantooth. I bet you don't know Wes Mantooth either.
No.
Okay. Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG. Craig, we got to circle back to Jack to Chicago.
Okay.
If it's not Dak, there is no deal. And they're going to try to, and I say jam Strome down your throat. He's a really good young player. Was he third overall? He was third overall the year Jack was drafted. Went McDavid, Jack, Dylan Strome, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
DeBrincat is an interesting player, 23 years old, scores a lot of goals, someone of interest. Like you had mentioned, the young Adam Boyquist, 20 years old, he eighth overall pick. Really, really nice defenseman. I don't think that Chicago Blackhawks have the collateral to make a deal if Dylan or Kirby Dack is not in the deal. There's just don't think there's enough. And people here in Buffalo, I'm reading a lot on Twitter. You know, everybody wants Patrick Kane, right? I mean, guess what? There is zero chance that Patrick Kane is coming to Buffalo. He is not going to come to Buffalo in this trade. I don't see it happening.
Well, that's why they're moving for Jack, isn't it? Because they feel like Kane still has.
Yeah, he's still.
Like Kane still has Hart Trophy hockey in him.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, you think about if Tate. Now, granted. The money's going to be tricky. I don't know where Chicago's, how they're going to get creative unless they're going to pull a Tampa Bay and bring Taves back in the playoffs next year. You know, you don't know what they're thinking in that regard. Now that whole Tampa Bay situation.
Well, they have Brett Seabrook, who has officially retired. His cap hit was 6.875. Okay. So that is coming off the books. Andrew Shaw, who just retired this year, I think it was concussion issues. He made 3.9. So that's a lot of money coming off the books in just those two players alone. Okay. Mm-hmm. You're looking at, you know, almost $11 million. Now you're looking at Jonathan Taves, 33 years old. He has 2 years left. He did not play the entire season last year. If he does not play this year, you would think that he would have to retire due to his issues that he's dealing with in whatever they are. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So they need more than anything a face that is going to help drive the Chicago Blackhawks moving forward. Jack Eichel is in the prime of his career. He's 24 years old. He's going to be a 100-point player in this league. They need a player like Jack Eichel. But in order to get a player like Jack Eichel, you're going to have to give something up that you don't want to give up. And that's going to be possibly a high first-round draft pick this year, number 11. It's possibly going to be Kirby Dack. It's possibly going to be something else. Another player, maybe another defenseman, Nikita Zadorov maybe, or something else. There's going to be something else.
They're
going
to have to use some of their draft picks from next year. You know, this year, you're going to have to take 11. We sit here every day and we talk about it, and it's like the longer I sit at the table, the more I'm willing to take less just to make the deal. You're not getting the Ryan O'Reilly deal. That's, you're not going to see that again. You're not trading for pieces like, who'd they even get? Who are the, forget about Tage and the first rounder. What was his name? Saboka and
Berglund.
Like that's not, I'm sorry, but those aren't the pieces that I am even taking back at all to get a deal. That's not even like in order to get Dak in the first round pick and this guy, you have to take that guy. No. I'm not doing that. I'm ridding myself from those kinds of scenarios nowadays with this new type of philosophy. Like you said,
how bad that deal turned out to be. And I'm going to tell you this. When Jason Botro made that trade, I didn't hate it. I didn't hate the trade. We had a first round draft pick. We had Tage Thompson, who was a first round draft pick. I think he was 20th overall, you know, a big right winger, played in the National Development Program, had promise. We picked up Patrick Berglund. Patrick Berglund was playing as a second line center in St. Louis for a number of years. So what did they bring in? They replaced a centerman with a centerman. Okay. A Ryan O'Reilly for a Berglund. Berglund, go back and look at his statistics. He did and put up some really good numbers in this league. He was a really good, solid centerman. Okay. Was he Ryan O'Reilly? No, but he was very good. So I looked at that and said, listen, this is good. This is good. And then you look at Sobotka, as much as when he came here to Buffalo, it was not a good fit. Okay. It wasn't a good fit, but he was a really solid player in his own right. He was a third line left winger. And we had him playing all over the place. He was playing right wing. He was playing center. He's playing left wing. And he's in the stands. I just think that, you know, that trade didn't work out on so many levels.
Well, we've also traded the other piece a number of times too. Ryan Johnson, he's still sitting at college. And we've talked about him. He was the first rounder. Remember that pick was going to be like first overall, January, like late December. We're like, Sabres could end up with the first overall pick. January 2nd.
Started January. St. Louis was dead last. Overall.
Well, you had best odds for the lottery. Is what it was.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they turn around and win the cup. That wasn't supposed to happen. But don't you think though at the time, and I'm certainly not trying to justify that deal now after the fact, but at the time, you're sitting there and you're thinking, look, like you just traded one player and you have two players that you thought you could plug right into your roster.
Yeah.
To add the depth, to make your team better, to help Jack, you know what I mean? With a little bit of depth there. I know, you know, and you pick up some youth, but that's not the deal you're going to see. I don't want a Saboka in the deal. I don't want a late 20s, early 30s player unless it, you know. who knows who it is.
I'm not even big on the draft picks. The way I look at it, I want the highest end prospect that you could possibly get. And when I say high end prospect, these prospects are no brainers. They are going to work out. Okay. It's not like they're, oh, we're going to get this guy, but we don't really know where he fits in. And we don't even know if he's going to play in the league. No, we're talking, I want whoever we trade with, whether it's the Rangers, LA, Anaheim, Chicago, Minnesota, you name it. We need to have the number one prospect in their organization, because that will, there's whoever receives Jack is always going to win the deal. And the reason why I say that is the best player in the deal is usually you're getting the best deal. Okay. But we're in a situation that I love some of the young talent that we have in our organization now. And I love what could be in the next month or two or wherever it is, and what we will get for a player like Jack and a player like Sam and possibly even Ristolainen. There's going to be a change, and a much needed change, a fresh change.
Craig, you're not going to like my next like offer that I would accept from Chicago. But I would honestly just do Dak this year's first, this year's second, and next year's first.
Dak, this year's first, which
number
is
11.
Number 11, and next year's first.
And this and a second rounder this year. They have two second rounders this year for Jack. I would do it.
So Dak, a first year, a second.
Because where are you going to put Dak right away when he steps in next year? Where are you going to put him?
He'll be our number one center.
Okay, there you go. Out goes Jack, in goes Dak. And then you have, you know,
Cousins and Casey Mittelstadt.
And whoever else you draft at 11 this year that's back in junior, Europe, or college.
They'll be back in junior. Or they'll be, wherever. They won't be playing won't be in the NHL.
Right. So, unless, you know, I mean, and then, I know that's not... That might not make your team win next year, but I don't think when you're trading Jack, Sam, Risto, but that would just be what a gap to fill in right there. If you just threw him right in there, you have Cousins, Dak, in whichever order you want to throw them, Casey Mittelstadt. Does that excite you for the future, at 100%. Least for the next couple of years anyway?
Absolutely. I think every single person in Buffalo Sabre land, all the fan base, we have been hard on Casey Mittelstadt. Rightfully so. I don't think he performed and took it as serious as maybe what he should have. But guess what? They're young men. As much as they're playing in the NHL and they're no different than any other 18-year-old, 19-year-old kid. And I mean, some of these kids can't make their bed and they can't take care of themselves and they can't cook meals. And you know what? These NHL players, they're not any different. So they need to mature. They need time to mature into men where they have responsibilities and the whole shooting match.
Well, Casey talked about that. He referenced that in one of his post-game interviews toward the end of the year when he was playing really well. He talked about, he used his own words, you know, his own words were growing up, maturing, you know, eating right, taking care of himself off the ice, not as much video games. You know, like, I mean, yeah, there's definitely some hand-holding that needs to be done. But
and
again,
and you can't rush it. It happens over time. You mature as a young man over time. And Casey Mittelstadt is now 22 years old. He's not 19. He's 22. And he is a different player at 22 and a different man at 22 than what he was when he came here to Buffalo. He's always been world-class talent. I remember when they talked about Casey Mittelstadt in his draft. We picked him 8th overall. But he was ranked third highest forward in the draft that year. Okay. We picked him 8th. He has world class skill sets and talent. and he's 22. How are we rushing these young men? Let them mature. Let them deal with ups and downs throughout their career. Casey Mittelstadt, he's never dealt with any issues in hockey. You know that, right? Came from Minnesota. No, he was Mr. Minnesota. He went to the University of Minnesota. Everything throughout his young life in hockey, he's dominated. He hasn't had adversity. He hasn't had to fight through things. And now, at the age of 19, 20, 21, he had to fight through adversity. He got sent down to the minors. How did he take that? What did he do with it? Did he pout? Or did he work through it? Did he try and work through things? He got an opportunity this year with Don Granato. Ralph Krueger didn't give it to him. Sat him in the stands.
When did he start to earn it? Well, when did he actually start to earn that opportunity? When he played, when he started to play? Because it's not like at the start of the year. It's not like at the start of the year. He had earned himself.
Yes, he did.
He did.
Go back to it. I would love for you to go back and ask the media members that followed the team. Okay. They said that Tage Thompson was one of the best players in training camp. We remember that. But they also said that Casey Mittelstadt was turning heads. He didn't get any opportunity from Ralph Krueger. None. He got opportunity to play when Don Granato stepped in. I don't know what was said to him behind closed doors, but I'm sure it was seize the opportunity.
I don't remember that. I don't remember Casey having, and I'm not saying it's not true. I'm just saying I don't remember.
I bet you Paulie Hambone Hamilton right now is listening. And if he is, Paulie, text Petey. Because I remember that they were talking about Casey Mittelstadt looked stronger and he looked faster and more mature. And that was a good sign.
Okay. All right. I just remember.
But again, he'd never got an opportunity. He didn't get any opportunity until the coaching change was made. And then Don Granato opened the doors for Casey Mittelstadt, and Casey Mittelstadt grabbed it and he played fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
Would Casey Mittelstadt have had that same opportunity to play the way he did if Jack were healthy?
100% not.
Right. So he took advantage of it. I mean, Don Granato was a huge influence. I mean, but Jack's ice time being available, I think, was big too. But I don't remember. Let me see. I don't know if I've received a text from Paul Hamilton yet. I appreciate you doing. No, I haven't received anything here telling me that Middle said. I don't remember. I remember all the rave at training camp was about Tage Thompson. That was where it all was. It was all about Tage Thompson. I remember Casey Mittelstadt.
And he lasted a game and a half. That was his opportunity. Best guy in camp by far, dominated. He got a game and a half. That's what he got. Confidence builder there.
Yeah. Well, that happened to him a while back too. What was the game? Remember he was supposed to get some time on Jack's line somewhere in Carolina. Remember one night,
like what? A couple shifts?
4 minutes into the game. I think it was over. Yeah. I don't remember what year that was or who the coach was. I think there's been three since Tage got here.
Yeah.
I think. Has there been three since Tage got here?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, Tage got here.
Had Housley.
You had Housley. Oh yeah. Yeah. Three. And supposed to be, I think, will definitely be Donnie Granato, I would imagine, here. Probably an announcement coming soon. I don't know anything, but I would assume. I mean, I haven't heard anything otherwise. Nothing otherwise. That goes back to everything you just said 15 minutes ago about how quiet it's been. How are coaching searches so quiet? How is everything so quiet at such a crucial time? Find me a more fascinating team or a more interesting team in professional sports right now than the Buffalo Sabres. Trading a number two superstar, trading a really good top tier defenseman, looking for a goalie, drafting number one overall. You have a former number one overall pick who could be a superstar in years to come who needs a contract. You have a $9 million player who certainly is playing like about an $800,000 player. You have no goalie. Like, I mean, the list goes on and on.
No goalies.
And who's the coach?
You don't have any goalies.
Omar's not going anywhere. He's not going anywhere.
He's not going anywhere. He's an unrestricted free agent.
There's no opportunity for him anywhere else than right here.
Right now.
I know he's a UFA. Jeff, I know he's a UFA. I see you typing in the rundown with your fingers going, supporting Craig. I know he's a UFA. Where's he going to go? Where's he going to go?
You don't think he's going to have opportunity?
I know he's going to have opportunities.
Where does he fit amongst, as Marty and I have discussed this a little bit. There's a lot of goaltenders available this year. The market is going to be saturated with good goaltenders.
Saturated with good goaltenders. That bodes well for UFA or not well for UFA goalie?
Well, it's going to bode well, I believe, if you're a player like Linus Allmark. And I'm going to tell you why. Linus Allmark's 27. Some of the other goaltenders, who are really good goaltenders, are 33 years old. So if you're going to spend your money on a goaltender, are you going to spend it on a 27-year-old or a 33-year-old?
How many injuries does a 33-year-old have? Linus Allmark might be 27, but he might have a 33-year-old body. Double hip surgery. He had an injury this year. I want Linus back, Craig. I want him back. I think he can be a really good mentor for UPL. But I'll be honest with you. I mean, I don't know where else. Like, some of those other goalies might be cheaper too. We don't know what Linus is going to want. If everyone's talking about him getting the same deal as the guy in Vancouver, I don't know that I can pay him that just yet.
Just yet? Why not?
Injuries. Injuries alone.
Well, the games that he has played and the output that he's had has been better than the guy
when
he just
he
got
has
a five-year deal.
I do not want to take anything away from Linus Allmark, anything, because I want him healthy and I want him here. But I can't go toss a contract at him for full value when, number one, I don't even know his health right now. Right, he was recovering toward the end of the year, and you don't know about his durability. Durability is the word that I will put right beside Linus Allmark with a question mark. What is his durability? And that is why I would, if he's coming back, I would sign him to the money he wants, but only to like a 2-year deal. But we'll talk more about that on the other side of the break. And things that Craig doesn't care about, Craig. If there was one concert when all this is opened up, when life is back to normal, this side of the border or the other, I don't care. Give me one concert that you would want to go see on the other side of the break, because one took place. One took place. You heard about it? You hear about the concert? It's a big concert. Big concert. Big cover song, too. Tell you about that. Craig, I want to know what concert you go to. I know mine. WGR Fights, not Nickelback. WGR 550.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
More of the Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome back, Instigators. Last night? Madison Square Garden, Foo Fighters. Sold out crowd. First concert back in New York was the Foo Fighters. They kicked it off in style, and they brought on Dave Chappelle to cover Radiohead's Creep. I don't know if anyone out there may not know that song, but it's very, I'm a creep. You know that one?
I'm a widow. What the hell am I doing here?
Better than Chappelle. I love Chappelle. I'm a big Dave Chappelle fan.
Yeah.
Go watch Dave Chappelle sits down with Dave Letterman. My next guest needs no introduction. It's called, it's absolutely incredible. His brain is incredible. It's incredible the way his brain operates. I don't know that I enjoy listening to anybody else speak in the world more than Dave Chappelle. But sing? I don't know about sing. Now, it's great that he went on the stage, but I mean, he doesn't have a great
pipe. Did he butcher it? Like,
Dave Chappelle can't butcher. He can't butcher anything. He couldn't butcher anything, even though he was not in tune and doesn't have a great singing voice. It's Dave Chappelle, and it's a pretty good song for him to sing. I think a lot of bands like to cover this song. I think Tears for Fears did. I saw them a few years ago. They did it. But the Foo Fighters, who would you like to see if you could see one concert back? Someone just said the Foo Fighters are one of the greatest of all time, and I just about fell off my stool here. I mean, you know, it's like, no, they're not.
I need to clarify.
They're good.
Where are they going to play? Like, do I have to go to a concert?
Yeah, you're going to a live concert. I don't care that you don't want to be around people. I don't want to get into this nonsense. Let's imagine for a second that you could go and see a concert because you actually like to be around people, okay, and in crowds and enjoying the moment. Where are you going?
I would say what band would I want to see?
Yeah, who are you seeing?
Metallica.
Have you ever seen them live?
Yes. Unbelievable.
Heard that.
Unbelievable.
My brother had 4 tickets to the show here in Buffalo, offered me 2 of them. I turned them down. I was like, nah, I'm good. Too loud, fast, heavy for me for that night. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Those are my hockey playing days. I had Metallica on in the car the other day. My little guy was like, oh, hey, Uncle Jeff loves this band. He's just kind of looking at me kind of weird. It was, give me fuel, give me fire, give me that, which I have that. Right? Yeah. And Brody's just kind of like, huh? What? You know, because I'm more of like, okay, like, I'm Fleetwood Mac. Eh? Like, I'm more of like a,
oh, yeah.
Thunder only happens when it's raining. Yeah, yeah, I'm a little more mellow. But Foo Fighters, like, I don't know. They're, you know, like.
Where do they fit in, though? Where do they actually fit in? Are they rock? What are they?
Well, they're rock. They're rock. Like, look, I'm going to take a lot of heat for this because I like Nickelback. So, and I don't dislike the Foo Fighters. I like the Foo Fighters. I do. I don't put them up there as one of the greatest of all time, as someone just said. I think they're far, far from it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not even close, actually. But they're decent. They've had some good songs over the years, but I'm not going out of my way to see the Foo Fighters. Although I've heard they put on an unbelievable show.
You know who I don't listen a whole lot to, but I would be interested in going, and I don't know how big, even big as concerts are, or maybe they're smaller venues, but a Dave Matthews Band.
Oh, yeah. You want to get centered, eh? You want to sit down, inhale all that fine herbal smoke that's going around the facilities there. Just sit back and enjoy the nice little remedies and melodies of Dave. Yeah. You ever hear a story about Dave Chappelle? So this is a true story. So they were in Chicago touring. Okay. This is a true story. 100%. I've heard it from multiple sources. Like, you hear it from your TMZ and then you watch your music shows, like a behind the music type thing. So their tour bus, Dave Chappelle or Dave Matthews Band, was fined $20,000. Because in Chicago, the bus driver went and emptied out the toilet from the tour bus on a bridge into the river right on top of one of the boats, the tour boats underneath. So one of the tour boats was coming underneath the bridge. Okay. Guy opens the hatch, just rains rained. It was Dave Matthews. That's what I said. Jeff is correcting me. Dave Matthews. And they just rained like feces, human feces and urine all over the people below them. There are witnesses. I have seen, they've had witnesses interviewed and stuff about it. And I think they were fine. I think they were fine, like $20,000. And yeah, it definitely happened because Jeff's confirming that. But wow. Dave Matthews wasn't on the bus. It was like while they were in the hotel or they were doing something, and the bus was just kind of, it was 14 years ago. 800 pounds of feces dumped onto Chicago sightseers. So like if you've ever watched the movie The Breakup, when he's got the boat and the tours,
yeah,
that's kind of what it was. It was like a boat tour of the city of Chicago through the river there that they make green on St. Patty's Day. So talk about a crappy day. I would have used another word, but the FCC steps in. Jimmy Kimmel. This is all sports related. Jimmy Kimmel is getting his own college football bowl game. Okay. It's not a joke. It's not a joke. The first Jimmy Kimmel LA Bowl will see top selection in the Mountain West Conference face off against the Pac-12's number 5 selection. On December 18th, my dream of being forever enshrined alongside Orange, Rose, Cotton, and Peach comes true, Kimmel said in a statement. How about that? That's about as embarrassing as it gets. You're what? What were you just about
to
say?
I'm just, I am confused with that one. I don't get that. But good for Jimmy Kimmel.
I don't get it either. I don't get it either. So this is not a joke, they say. This is real bowl game named after him. So Mark.
Why?
I don't know. Again, this is the second time in a week Jimmy Kimmel's come up on our show, and I've told you that he's right up there. For me, as one of the more annoying entertainers on the planet, in my opinion. But he's getting his own bowl game. Here's another one. Henry Ruggs, you know who that is, the third. So he's a football player.
Yep.
Had a perfect game. You ever bowled a perfect game?
Far from it, no.
Far from it. Had a perfect game. And what do you think happened on the last shot? He missed a single pin on the last throw to score a 300.
Really?
A single pin.
What's your best game? Like, are we talking the small balls or the big balls?
Small balls are 5 pin. Big balls are 10.
Okay.
And my best bowling score, I'm going to tell you that, like, I used to go bowling when I lived in Rochester. Our neighbor, my roommate and I, Luke Theoret. And our neighbor wrote math textbooks. Okay. So like he wrote math textbooks. So he was off a lot. He was a professor and he was retired. So he was a bowler. He bowled a perfect game. So we would go with him to the bowling lanes in Rochester. And we'd go like 3-4 times a week. Cause you know how in the American League, you play on the weekends.
Yeah.
So we would have Monday off. We'd go bowling. Tuesday, we'd go after practice. Thursday, we'd go. And then we play, you know, on the weekends or whatever, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And we'd go back at it the next week. But I think I got up to like a 170, high 170, yeah, 180. I never broke 200. I got really close, but I think I've had like 4 or 5 strikes in a row, but nothing.
Four or five strikes in a row.
It's all power. Like, it had nothing to do with form or technique or spin. Yeah. Like it's
so you're not using your wrist to spin the ball down the.
Oh God, no. I have no idea how to do that. Bowling as
I like bowling.
Do you?
Yeah.
Huh. For as unenjoyable and unathletic as it is, it's really hard. It's really hard.
Yeah.
To spin.
You want to be really good. You have to have that bowler technique to spin the whole shooting match.
I bet you have a wrist guard.
I don't, but.
Did you not join a bowling league at one time? Were you not in a bowling league?
Yes.
With your wife? Didn't you go buy like a ball? Did you not go out and find like a ball with a rose in it or something?
You know me,
yes, I know you. And if you join something, you're going to someone asked you to go mountain biking one time, you went and bought a $5,000 bike and you never used it since. So that's why I ask you, like, if someone asked you to go bowling, you're going to be like,
I bought this mountain bike. I thought it was a great idea. Right. And up where I live in North Bay, there's some great hills and back trails. And at that time, I was in really good shape. Okay. I was, you know, obviously our lower bodies and the way that we train and our legs were super strong. We, you know, we're just physically in excellent shape. Until you get on a bike in the mountains. Okay. It is insane how these, how they don't get hurt is beyond me. They're whipping down these trails uncontrolled, flying, you know, roots and rocks and everything are sticking out. The whole time I'm riding, all I could think about is I'm going to get hurt here really bad. And I did. First time. Well, oh, actually, wow. You want to know the first time I went? I got left behind because I could not keep up with the pack. And I had to go up this hill, which I could not get up the hill. So I had to carry my bike. How embarrassing is this? I had to run.
Did you have the tights on and the shoes that clipped into the wheels?
No, I had that. No, I had shoes that clipped in, but these guys were professionals. Okay. So this hill, I couldn't get up. It was professional. So I had to get off my bike and I had to run up the hill with my bike. I get to the top of the hill. Now I can't see them. So I'm going down the hill and there's a point where there's a fork in the road. You had to take a right or a left.
What side? Live or die. What'd you choose?
What side? You have to make a split decision, right or left.
Naturally, I go left.
So did I.
Yeah.
I went left.
Always go left.
And I was flying through the bush, flying as fast as I could, out of control to try and catch up to these guys. 20 minutes later, I'm still flying through the bush. Now, all of a sudden, I'm thinking to myself, I have absolutely no idea where I am. So I stop, I get off my bike, and I listen. All I could hear is birds, deaf silence. I'm like, I'm in big trouble here because I have no idea where I am. So I continue to ride for another hour and a half by myself.
At what point do you just turn around? Like, do you just go back and quit?
Oh, you did. But now I'm starting to pick up. I'm starting to read the bush, right? I see these red ribbons tied to the trees in certain spots. I'm like, what does this mean? Is this a sign or something?
Those are markers. If you're deep in the woods and you see like something that might indicate some kind of a marker to tell you which way you're going.
15 guys that went on this ride in the bush. I get back. It is almost dark. Okay. And there's only two guys left waiting. Everybody had already left because I had been in the bush for another hour and a half on top of when
they wanted to show Mr. NHL player, right? With the new big bike.
When I pulled up on my bike, all of the guys got off their bikes to come over to look at my bike. And they're like, is that titanium? This and that. And I'm like, I have absolutely no idea. I bought it like a couple days ago because you guys said you were going riding. Anyway, embarrassing.
Okay. Well, that's not embarrassing. I think that's fantastic. Let me ask you how
I just embarrassed myself on this show.
No, listen. Here's the embarrassing. Let's embarrass them first. Did they all have the tights on with the sponsor shirts and everything? But they're not really sponsored by anybody?
Yes.
Like I see cyclists riding around. I'm like, how are these people all have sponsorships? They're just kind of like ordinary people riding around on Saturday, but they all have these sponsored shirts on. It's like they're in the Tour de France or something. I am going to ask you this because you said you were trying to read the bush and you're lost in the bush. This is not hockey related, but it is hockey related. When we come back, I want to know how long you would last on the show alone.
I just started watching that show 3 days ago.
Yeah, same. I want to know how long you would last in the show alone because I think I have a timetable for myself. Stick around. If you don't know what we're talking about, it's on Netflix. It's unbelievable. WGR 550 and MSGV is here.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
How long? How long would you last on a loan? I'd be a solid 4 hours and I'm making that call. I'm 4 hours. You drop me off and I am literally, I'm making the call. I'm pushing the buttons. They drop me off at noon. I'm home by six.
Well, I'm watching the first episode and there was a guy that gets off the boat, gets onto the shore. He grabs his great big, huge tackle box or whatever for the audio equipment and sees that there's bear claws going across the thing. That's my thing to get out.
Oh, so you're getting right back on the boat.
Yeah. I would never in a million years, be able to do that.
It's incredible. And the places that these people are building, I don't know what episode you're on, but it's like these, they brilliant. Build shacks
absolutely
in the woods.
Absolutely brilliant people.
I can't get over it. It makes me feel completely useless. Seriously. Yeah. I'm not like, I feel like I've accomplished some things in my life that are, you know, that are pretty cool, but I have no skills like that when it comes to like, these people are, they're building log cabins in the woods.
Understanding, you know, the one episode I was watching that there was a bear that the person, it was near the camp and the guy was like, yeah, I got to go towards this bear. I got to show him and cut him off. So he doesn't go to camp.
Yeah.
And
he goes
like,
at
what?
Him.
What are we doing here? Wow. Like I really do not know a whole lot about wildlife.
One guy gets sick because he eats a squirrel. So make sure you check that out. It's crazy what they do. Squirrels, rabbits. I mean, it's incredible. Yeah. We got to go. Marty's in tomorrow, and we'll talk everything playoffs, sports, definitely NHL. We are out. One Bills Live next. Greg, good job with it, buddy. See you tomorrow, everyone.
Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.